Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Thank you, Vicar. Welcome, congregation, as we gather once more to share the shameful sins of others.
Basically, you can't get to the end of the first sentence without that voice coming
that
out.
That's the time. The
priest voice. My real voice comes out eventually.
Yeah.
I spend a lifetime disguising it and then...
Yes. Out it comes.
Mm-hmm. Partly to offer forgiveness, that's why we're here, helping many find absolution from the burden of their sins. Partly for entertainment purposes, because we have a laugh.
That's why we're here.
Sister Susie, as you can hear, is in the saloon bar.
I am.
Brother Matt, as always, is in the gutter.
Correct. Here I am.
Sister Holly is lurking. What microphone are you on?
Hello. Oh, I'm here.
That one. Very good. And remember her catchphrase.
It's also just a very, very gross and sick and wrong story from start to end.
Sick and wrong. Lots of sick and wrong three-worders this week.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, we had to a Sunday afternoon football match for the Confession from the Crypt. A look through the parish notice board, more of the confessions that we simply couldn't do on the radio, and, of course, all the confessions from the Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio. Do yourself a favour and listen Monday to Friday, 4 till 7, including number one son from Nottingham and his computer woe, Rage Against the Machine, Gordon's Allo Allo tribute in Écoutez et Répétez, Derek's confession, Lilac Wine. But first, a confession that comes with a very strong warning. It's Zeb's silage story. Sit down next to me. I really wouldn't if I were you, for reasons that will become very apparent.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession welcomes Holly back.
Yes.
All her fans, the fan club, very, very pleased. Get well, Susie. She's not feeling 100%. So, I definitely have to say, this particular confession has a 12 certificate, particularly if you're eating.
Excellent news. I love that.
Okay.
Yeah.
The warning having been broadcast, here is today's tale, which comes from Zeb. Thank you, Zeb. Father Simon and the Fellowship of Forgiveness, I beseech you... I don't even know if I'm going to get away with this. Anyway, it's Holly's fault if I don't. I beseech you for forgiveness for a misdemeanour which I am sure will bring Brother Matt great delight. Those of the listening fraternity who live out in the sticks may have noticed an increase in farm traffic over the last few weeks as silage season has firmly begun. This is the time of year when many a farmer cuts their fields of grass, transports it back to the yard, and stores it in preparation for winter time, ready to be fed to their cattle. With a glimmer of hope in the weather forecast and a willing team, we have thus far managed to cut, collect, and store 268 acres worth of grass, which is a good start. What comes next is the spreading of a plentiful byproduct from the cattle on said fields, which acts as a natural fertilizer, increasing the crop of grass ready for the next cut. Circle of life and all that, as Matt would say.
Yeah.
It was whilst undertaking this rather unpleasant job that the following events took place. Having just unloaded my tanker, I set off to return to the yard, travelling a short track from a field to a nearby road. However, as I approached, I could make out a van blocking my way, parked at a diagonal across the track with its nose brushing the hedge, and a man crouched on the near side of it, seemingly unaware of a very large vehicle approaching. That was me. Could it be a bird spotter, I wondered? Or perhaps he had lost something? However, as I drew my massive tractor closer, it became apparent that this was not the case. To put this into context, our farm straddles the A30 in West Devon, the main route into and out of much of Devon and Cornwall for locals, holidaymakers and business folk alike. As a result, a great multitude of people pass the farm daily, barely taking note except for the nearly home trees on the neighbouring farm. Very Cornish listeners will know, apparently. Okay, I'm sure that'll be explained. However, for the volume of travellers, there are no service stations for a good few miles each way, which I can only assume was the cause of this man's plight. As I got closer, it became clear that, in essence, the gentleman is engaged in a similar activity to me, yeah. albeit in a more direct manner. Hopefully that's vague enough for Tea Time Radio. However, given his hiding behind his van and keeping lookout toward the road, to my utter disbelief, he still failed to notice me as I drew within 20 yards in my noisy tractor. What to do? I had work to do, and this man was clearly unaware of my need to proceed. With that in mind, I stepped out of my tractor and cautiously approached yard by yard. How could it be? This man still failed to notice me as I drew closer. Was it denial of the unfortunate circumstances? Was it brazen defiance? I couldn't fathom it, but he left me no choice. I approached and tapped him on the shoulder.
Oh, what?
This turned out to be a bad choice, yes. Father Simon. Yes. The man turned out to be wearing headphones. And so had been blissfully unaware of my presence until this particular moment. Consequently, I caused him such a shock that he jumped, slipped, and sat in the very spot where he'd been hovering. This had not gone as I'd expected. Well. He then leapt to his feet, returned his trousers to their rightful position, and looked at me in horror, but with very little to say, as he appeared to not speak much English. Desperately trying to maintain some composure, I gestured that I needed to pass with my vehicle and could he please move his van. Evidently, the shame and embarrassment were too much to bear, and with this he cleaned up.
Oh, boy.
Threw it into the footwell and jumped into his seat and retreated with haste. By this point...
Into the footwell?
Yes. By this point, I was in no fit state to drive a wheelbarrow, let alone a tractor, so I took 10 minutes to recover whilst calling my two brothers to tell them the story. As such, I throw myself on your mercy. I had no intention to cause such misfortune and can only imagine the discomfort and unpleasantness of the drive home for that poor man. Can you please find it in you to forgive, please? Zeb with a farming tale. I did... Okay, if you can now turn the radio up if you are of a sensitive nature. Thank you very much, Zeb, for that. Sister Holly, welcome back.
Hello. Well, it's very nice to be back. I think the thing is, Zeb, if you were the person in the van who had done this, then this would be an obvious not forgiven. Although I'm still not going to forgive you because I think you should have been a bit more aware. He had headphones on. Couldn't you have seen that whilst you were approaching him? I think you should have seen that maybe coming. Also, did you really desperately need to get past that van? Surely there was another route you could have gone, could have avoided it perhaps, and none of this would have happened. It's also just a very, very gross and sick and wrong story from start to end.
Sick and wrong.
And so that's why I'm not forgiving at all.
That's your three-worder for most days. Sick and wrong.
Love
Brother
it.
Matthew.
Who wears headphones when that particular act is being performed? No one does. That seems a bit weird.
It does.
And also throwing it into the footwell. What on earth is going on? The whole point was to not have it in the car. For that, it was very, very, very funny story. What a way to start the week. And so for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
No wonder Zeb then called his brothers up.
Called his brothers.
Incapable of driving.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
What with one thing and another, he could just have done it in the footwell in the first place.
Well,
really.
Having then put it back in the footwell, that doesn't make any sense at all.
I know. Yeah. Sister Susie, you thought that maybe that should have been in the not-for-broadcast section, but I think we got away with it.
Did we?
I think we did, just
think
about.
We did, Your Honour.
Yeah.
Right, let's look at the parish notice board. Matt, how are the reviews looking?
Well, you'll be amazed to hear they are 5 stars and fabulous, because those are the only ones we are prepared to acknowledge. So Steve Burnett says, 5 stars, I love it. Dear Simon, Matt, Susie and Holly, just wanted to say that the podcast is fantastic. I've been listening for a while now, but decided to save the last 4 episodes for my trip to Turkey, both on the plane and around the pool. I've been getting some strange looks at my sudden outburst of laughter. Thanks and keep up the great work. Tim Wick 56 says, 5 stars. Great podcast returns. It's so great to have this back. I'm currently catching up on the previous episodes, having been informed of the return on Simon's other show with his film friends.
Yes,
indeed. It also marks the return of what is locally known as a Mayo morning. Really not what it sounds like. What does it sound like? Out on the bike for a Mayo morning.
Morning, most mornings.
Yes, you do. Yes. Yeah, every morning, in fact. Out on the bike for a few hours, listening to confessions and film reviews. Bone conduction headphones so I can hear the cars before too many complaints about cyclists with headphones on, oblivious to the world, hashtag some form of emoji with a smile. So well done, Timwick56.
So it's not just a smiley emoji, there's no hashtag there.
Hashtag smiley emoji. Deagle75 says, I love it. I have loved this since the 90s. So glad it's back. You now need to bring back your greatest ever segment, though. Dead or Alive, is Mozart composing or decomposing? Is that something from Radio 1 days?
It was a list of people who were born on this particular day.
Oh, right, okay.
And the person on the phone just had to say whether they thought they were dead or alive. Now, obviously, it's obvious in a few cases, but sometimes you go, do you know what? I have got no idea. I haven't heard of them for years.
Yes,
maybe
yeah.
they're dead or alive.
Yes, dead or alive. Great sight. I think it lasted
a while, and then somebody very famous did die, and the controller came running in saying, drop the feature, drop the feature. So I said, I had actually thought of that. But anyway, thank you. And we've had some requests for some tat, Susie, I think.
Yes, we've had an email from Andrew who says, Dear Father Simon, Sister Susie and Brother Matt, I've been meaning to write this review for a few weeks since stumbling across your new podcast while scouring through Spotify looking for something good. I was a huge fan of the podcast at the old place, but it was never the same after Matt left.
Oh, please.
I have too many favourites to list, but one I'd love to hear in full was the story of the mum who, after a particularly hot curry, broke wind in the car that was so bad her daughter immediately vomited.
What? How did we get away with that? Oh,
I very
my
much
goodness.
Doubt that story would ever be broadcast no. again, but I do live in hope.
Well, it could be.
No, there's no way we could do that.
Depending on how it was written.
It would have to be very, very well written.
I think it would be good.
Yeah.
5 stars, maybe 6. If you managed to persuade Nigel to join you, I'd give you 10. Your podcast is so good.
The only reason that Nigel was ever in... Nigel was involved on a Thursday because it was the only way we could get him to arrive on time.
Yes, very true.
So that's that.
I've cancelled my Spotify account as yours is the only thing I listen to. I'm an oven cleaner and listen while cleaning away, and I've managed to persuade clients to subscribe too.
Excellent.
If you've got any tat you could send in my direction, I'll work even harder to encourage people to join your congregation. Great show. Kind regards, Andrew Bocott. And he says, P.S. I would listen live, but our son thinks Greatest Hits Radio is music for old people. But he is a fan of the podcast.
Well, I guess, wow. I guess it is really. But
it depends older how you, than him, yes.
Yeah, it depends how you're defining old. Let's say old is anyone 21 and above.
Yes,
so Holly, Holly, you're old.
Yes.
You are so
old.
Very old, yeah.
By the way. I think so. Does Andrew deserve something?
I think definitely. If he's got any tips on how to clean ovens as well, I am definitely in the market for that. He must have some kind of... It's not all down to chemicals, is it? It's probably not.
Of course
not.
It is.
Is it really?
Buy oven cleaner and do it that way.
No, I don't
lemon
think
juice.
Lemon juice. Really? Can you use lemon juice on ovens?
Is there something from the tat cupboard you could use to clean an oven with?
Well, the postcards, which are signed by you, Simon, you could maybe use as a bit of a scraper, perhaps.
Yes.
That might be quite good.
Are they absorbent?
Maybe, perhaps. And a mug as well to put the scrapings into.
Put the scrapings in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Well, you're not in charge of the tat cupboard.
No.
I'm afraid.
So, unlucky.
Do you remember that famous evening many years ago when you said, Holly... The tat cupboard is yours
forever. All for you.
I seem to remember that. Andrew will get something that Holly decides is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
If you have your own reason that you deserve a mug or a postcard signed by me.
Yes. Show us some love. Yeah.
Exactly. Email confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Quick couple of mentions to Kim Reynolds, Eddie Howard and Sal, who were among those who tweeted or blue skied or whatever, the secret phase from last week, which was, of course, vigorous talks from the Bible.
Yeah, very good.
Matt will, of course, have a new catchphrase for you at the end of this episode. Stand by for that. Now, it's our not-for-broadcast roll call of shame. These are the confessions we carefully placed into a recycling bin, as they're either too gross, too seedy, or sometimes just too illegal. I mean, it's either illegal or it's not illegal, really.
Yes.
So if it's not illegal, it's legal, and therefore it's okay. But
yes.
if it's illegal, then it's not going to happen.
Nope.
Are there any crimes that are okay, really?
I'd love us to start exploring that now.
Well, no,
which crimes
not.
Are okay?
Well, how about crimes from like 60 years ago? So say I was horrible to my brother 60 years ago.
That's not
I was
a crime.
That's
not
a crime. If you punched him in the face, that would
yes.
be...
That would be a crime, yes. yes.
I then locked him in the house.
Yes.
And he stayed there for a couple of years.
Defrauded him of his pocket money. That would be a crime.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. First of all, Mike. So he's been in touch. And Mike, we're all pleased to hear you've been listening to this show in its many forms for many years. Thank you. Unfortunately... Stealing a radio from the local shop so your girlfriend Shona can also listen was probably not a great move. It may have been the 90s when everyone was doing that kind of thing.
Were
but
they?
It was, no, they weren't. But it was still illegal. Please buy a radio and listen to us.
What?
Legally.
That's literally a crime.
Yes.
How is that? I mean, that doesn't qualify on any level.
Here's the point. Yep. If Shona is your girlfriend... Can she not share your radio?
Yeah.
Or buy her one?
Yes.
It's not that you can get a radio for a fiver. Just buy her a radio.
Mind you, it was the 90s, wasn't it? The
well,
famously
it was
£4.50 radios.
Then.
The £4.50 for a radio? That's what I think.
Well, I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes. Good
yes,
for you.
It was.
Why not? Yeah.
Stephen, it was probably a bit mean of you to trick your friend David into thinking the Kama Sutra was part of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And getting him to buy a copy in the W.H. Smith shop nearby.
Oh,
poor
wow.
young lady didn't know where to put herself when he asked for the special edition illustrated version. He was so embarrassed and upset he didn't talk to you for weeks. And I don't blame him. I think that one's okay.
That's fine, yes. Also, W.H. Smith won't be selling the Kama Sutra. That'd be my guess.
Well, back in the day, they...
there were then. Back in the 90s, apparently.
Yes.
Along with the £4.50 radios.
So is that not appropriate for broadcast?
No, we can't talk about the Kama Sutra at tea time.
Why not? Mm. What's the Kama Sutra?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
How would you describe the Kama Sutra?
A ancient book about when two people get together, like each other very much. That's how I do it at 6
right?
o'clock on a mainstream
Thank
show.
You. Is there any other complicated parenting issues you'd like Matt to explain to you?
Excellent.
We could do this as a regular item. Yeah. Anyway, getting back to those that did make the cut, here's number one son from Nottingham's confession, Rage Against the Machine.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Today's confession is signed Number One Son from Nottingham.
Okay.
Father Simon and the Compassionate Collective, I am seeking forgiveness for a sin I committed 3 years ago. It's one that haunts me to this day and plays on my consciousness frequently. I'm writing to you and the team so that I can finally be unburdened by my misdemeanor. My tale begins in April 2021. I was in my second term at my new sixth form college, studying history, politics, and English language. My teachers probably saw me as an engaged, conscientious, well-mannered student who wanted to do well. My mum and dad, who have always been my biggest fans, and gave me the loving sobriquet that I signed this email with, mm-hmm. likely saw me in the same light. So that's why it's signed Number One Son,
yeah,
because
yeah.
that's how he is referred to by his mum and dad. Though the country had emerged from the worst days of the pandemic, a lot of remote learning measures were still in place once I arrived at college, and though we were finally allowed to conduct some in-person lessons by the spring of 21, we still had to submit assignments online using Microsoft Teams. At home, I was reliant on my family's trusty dark blue laptop. With the scene set, here is my sorry tale. I've always been somewhat skeptical of technology, an unusual thing for a young person these days. It was for that reason, though, that I always did my assignments on the day my teachers gave me them and uploaded them online with plenty of time to spare. As I said, I'm quite a well-mannered person, but something about machines playing up make me really mad, make me see red. On one fateful day, I arrived home from college only to realise that one of my assignments was due that very evening, a politics essay on whether the American president had more power than Congress. I had written the essay and had submitted it the weekend before, but when I checked my phone, I was horrified to see that nothing had been handed in, and there was only 30 minutes left until the deadline. No.
Uh-oh.
Determined not to let my pristine reputation with my teachers be sullied, I retrieved my laptop from the dining room and went into the living room to sit down and submit my essay. No need to panic, I thought to myself. You've completed the assignment. You can upload it in plenty of time. I opened my laptop only to discover that it was running low on charge. No problem, I'll just grab my charger. I placed my laptop on the footstool, a large cream square with a hinged lid that means it's perfect for storage. But where was my charger? I'd searched in all the usual places, kitchen, dining room, next to the sofa. Nowhere to be seen. I was getting increasingly anxious. I was running out of time. I looked at the clock, 20 minutes. Where was the stupid thing? And then I thought to myself, what if Mum or Dad had tidied it away? I looked in a couple of drawers and boxes to find nothing. Ah, the footstool, what about that?
Yes.
I dashed into the living room, pulled open the footstool, and sure enough, the snaking wires of my charger were neatly tucked inside. Of course, in my haste, what I'd forgotten was that my laptop was on top of the footstool lid. Like a slingshot, the force of me throwing the lid open sent my laptop flying. I saw it flip in midair, like my life flashing before my eyes, with the blue body flapping like a bird in the sky. And then gravity kicked in. The laptop came crashing towards the floor, with the screen hitting the corner of our wooden coffee table in the process. When I picked it up, I found it still working, but the screen was disfigured by a huge crack like a spider's web across it. The hinges, too, had been warped. It was a very sorry state of affairs. Luckily, I managed to hand my assignment in with 15 minutes to spare. I called in Mum and Dad from the kitchen and explained what had happened. My parents, though annoyed at the damage inflicted on the laptop, took it rather well. "Not to worry," said Dad. "We can have a screen replaced." I was pretty annoyed with myself, though. What kind of idiot forgets to move their laptop off a footstool lid before opening it? Well, Father Simon, I was no idiot, but I was a liar. I had made it all up. I had told my parents a story that had never happened. Let's rewind 20 minutes. I was flapping around like a headless chicken searching for my charger. Luckily, I'd worked out that it must have been tidied away and been put in the footstool, moving my laptop before lifting the lid. I was about to hand my assignment in, just about to. My cursor was hovering over the submit button, and then the stupid thing ran out of charge, completely dead. Though I had plugged the darn thing in, I'd forgotten to turn the switch in the wall on. In a fit of rage, as I told you earlier, technology going wrong drives me crazy. I pushed the laptop off the footstool on purpose. It fell, it hit the ground, and the screen cracked. It was no laptop manslaughter, it was murder. And instead of telling my parents the truth, I painted it out to be an accident, all to save my own skin. I would like, therefore, to seek forgiveness for the crime and the cover-up. First, from my lovely parents, the kindest parents a boy could wish for destroying their laptop. My dad did get the screen repaired at considerable expense, only for the hinges and frame to be unsalvageable. It sits in a mangled heap on top of our dining room cabinet still, 3 years later. We have never got a replacement laptop. My poor parents have to read their emails and do their mobile banking on their phones, something I see them frequently struggling with. I'd also like to seek forgiveness from my college, which kindly lent me a laptop for the remainder of my time in sixth form on the grounds that it was accidentally destroyed. To them I lied too. I only wanted to make my parents and teachers proud. Now they know the truth, I expect they shan't be. If this is read out on your wonderful show, I will give my parents the smart speaker. It is the least they deserve. I will not profiteer from my heinous felony. My parents and I religiously listen to your show and hear confessions while we're eating dinner. I suspect there might be a rather icy atmosphere around the table when they realise the truth tonight. Well, I always like it when this is the moment of the reveal.
Yes, indeed.
So number one son from Nottingham may well not be number one any longer. Is he slipping down the rankings with you, Sister Susie?
Well, he is indeed. I just feel like this was just a... you just weren't very organised, were you? And you know, maybe a temper was not a good thing either. So I just feel like you should have been a bit more organised. You said you submitted it a week before. Well, that's really good. However, you didn't check it between then and the time of the deadline. What time is 20 minutes before to check whether it actually went through or not? So I just think set a reminder, but a little bit earlier next time for me. Right. And yeah, laptop murder indeed. You definitely...
don't deserve forgiveness, I'm afraid, so you're not getting it from me.
And he lied to his parents.
Yes, he did. We've had lying to your kids, and that's fine, obviously. Lying to your parents is new ground for us, isn't it? So I'm going to forgive because, you know, yes. Lying to the parents, it was fine. And the smart speaker, literally the least he can do for his parents is give them a smart speaker. But really, isn't it the system? Because, you know, having to give your homework in on Teams, that doesn't seem fair. Not when you could just be handing it in like normal. So not needing to do it on the laptop. That feels like a hostage to fortune to me. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Well, I think if we can blame Microsoft Teams for everything,
let's do that.
I think that's a very, very good thing. I think you were struggling there.
I was, wasn't I? Yeah.
Make
yeah.
any kind of logical
yeah, but,
sense.
Mm-hmm. But managed to pull it out of the bag at the last minute.
Again. Did
you? No.
Yeah.
Number one son there who got some interesting reaction on the people's verdict.
Not forgiven, says Pam in very sunny Dundee. By calling himself number one son, he got my back up because I was number three daughter. Sounds like a smug sausage to me who didn't have the wit to check his essay had actually gone and then threw a toddler-type tantrum and lied his face off. Hope his mum and dad put him on dirty dishes for months.
Smug sausage.
A smug sausage, yes. Right. And finally, not forgiven, say the parents of number one son. We cannot compute how he would lie to us if he had a sibling, he would no longer be number one son.
Which is very interesting. So the only reason he was number one son is that he's the only son.
Yeah. Well, you know.
What?
Hang on to those things, really, you know.
Hang on to what things?
A bit like the mug that I've got at home that has me as number one dad in the world, and you think, I don't remember having to qualify for that, but I'm going to hold on to it, you know?
Yes,
yeah.
For what it's worth.
Yeah, quite right.
Anyway, still to come on the Confessions podcast here from Greatest Hits Radio. Pub landlord saves a goal he shouldn't in the Confession from the Crypt. Gordon goes all method for his French GCSE. And also, now, Derek's confession. Lilac wine, I feel unsteady.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Father Simon in the Confessional Collective. My name is Derek. Last year, our son, Rob, not his real name, was one interview away from his dream job. 5 years after leaving university and furnished with a solid degree... Solid, I think, sounds a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
He set about working his way up to this particular appointment. He started with an administrator's role to get him in the door. Several promotions later, felt it was time to go for the job he'd always felt was his destiny. He got through four interviews, was down to the last four candidates. Sadly, this is where it went wrong. Stumbling under pressure, he was told that he was not ready for the big time just yet, and he was devastated. After a tearful call to Mum... as in his mum, it was suggested he came home for the weekend to the bosom of the family and regroup. Surely enough, Rob caught the next train from London to his Midlands home. On arrival, he was given all the hugs and attention I could only dream of.
Right, okay.
All I seemed to hear for the next 24 hours was get Rob this and get Rob that. Rob doesn't want to watch that. Rob wants a cup of tea. Oh, where's dear. Rob's favourite biscuit? Rob was sitting there. You get the picture. Knowing best as I do, I decided to take Rob to the local pub the following night. This will do the job, I thought. A few beers with the old uns in the Black Horse will put all his worries behind him. Unfortunately, what I didn't bargain for was an elderly farmer friend who made a point of telling Rob he was wasting his time in his current job and should have a complete career change. Sometimes you just have to admit it that you're not up to the job. Anyway, Rob looked bereft. Thanks, farmer. After a few beers, we returned home in silence. He seems to have become worse than before, said his mum. But I think Derek means my wife.
My wife, yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
My wife put Rob's favourite show on television and put out Rob's go-to treat, a selection of pizzas. Rob sat quietly watching Saturday night TV, barely looking at the pizza. I happily sat demolishing loads of it with a bottle of Chianti by my side. An hour or so later, Mum retired to bed to leave father and son to bond. We watched Match of the Day, but clearly Rob wasn't in the bonding mood. I'll be fine tomorrow, Dad. I'm just going to bed. And off he went. Having had a few beers at the pub and a few beers at home and some smashing pizza, the wine was going down perfectly. I nonchalantly reached across to grab the bottle and have a top-up. I knew I'd be able to do this without looking, because after a few beers and whilst watching Match of the Day, one can do this kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? Wrong. Mm. Two-thirds of a bottle of red emptied itself under the small table next to my chair. The carpet colour, well, it was light green.
Mm.
I screamed upstairs in one of those screaming whispers, Rob! Rob! He appears. What's up? Come down quickly and bring some dark towels. Red wine everywhere, your mum will kill me. Anyway, Rob comes down with a variety of towels. He fetched a bucket of warm soapy water and we set about scrubbing the carpet furiously. It was strange, but my look of abject fear was mirrored by Rob's look of pure delight. Dad was in it deep and Rob's schadenfreude had taken over. After a good half hour of scrubbing and wringing out ruby-stained towels, we seemed to have cracked it. Who would have thought that this would be the bonding moment we really needed? Next morning, first thing I did was inspect the carpet. In the morning light, it still looked damp, but it was difficult to see if it remained stained. Mum, my wife, was next up and she wandered into the lounge with a coffee for me, placed it on the table. She paused, looked down and then reaches down and touches the carpet. Just as her face began to get all cross and her mouth began to open, I stopped her with a finger to my lips, pointed upstairs. No, 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 no. You know how vulnerable and upset he is right now.
Oh, yeah.
Mum, confused. Is that red wine stain? Yes, yes. Here it comes, Father Simon. When Rob went to bed last night, he reached across. He gave me a hug. He accidentally knocked the bottle over. We spent ages clearing it up. Poor lad's devastated. I told him it's all good. Don't mention it, for heaven's sake. Well, my wife agreed. Oh, bless him. And that was it. The moment had helped us all bond in an odd way. I wasn't in trouble for spoiling a carpet. Mum was happy and Rob... What is this mum thing?
Yeah.
Was happy that Rob was on the mend and Rob thought it was hilarious that he'd come to the rescue of his clumsy dad. Everyone was happy. Until Sunday night. Once again, we're watching television. Mum brings Rob a glass of water. He reaches across, knocks it off the table, but recovers, barely spilling a drop. Without thinking, his mum smiles and says, Are you okay, love? What is it with you and knocking things off tables? Rob's eyes double in size. He slowly turned his gaze to me. Did you tell mum it was me that knocked the wine over? I remained silent. I took up an innocent-looking pose. Needless to say, I got the silent treatment for a few days and also had to then go carpet shopping, a favourite pastime of mine. Having thought I'd done the right thing, it was clearly a bad decision long-term, and I come to you, Father Simon, to seek the ultimate forgiveness for trying to throw my son under the bus in an attempt to bring harmony to the household. Or you could look at it another way, Derek, and just, you know, you were trying to get away with...
Yeah.
A terrible thing by blaming on your vulnerable son who'd just been turned down from a job of a lifetime. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, Derek, I think he was a bit jealous, really, of his son, wasn't he, and the attention he was getting. But I do the mum and dad thing. I've started doing that and referring to myself as mum and my other half as dad, just in conversation now. I don't know if that's a thing that happens when you have children, but maybe it's that. But I just don't think I can forgive him because he was never going to pull the wool over the eyes of his wife or mum. And do you know what? It was just a waste of wine. So for that reason, I'm not going to forgive you.
Very good. There,
waste of wine. Oh, dear.
Someone who lives in a pub.
Yeah, clearly.
Brother Matthew.
Rob sounded a bit tiresome to me with his favourite biscuit and his selection of pizzas and his going to bed early and all of that. I think, frankly, that Derek was well within his rights. And also, you know, he ended up having to go and buy another carpet, which is probably good because I'm not a massive fan of lime green carpets.
No.
So I think, you know, in the end, everyone won, didn't they? Because the carpet shop won and they got a new carpet and probably Rob has got a job now, and Derek got some pizzas. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Gordon. Gordon, thank you very much indeed for sending in tonight's tale. Gordon gets the smart speaker. Father Simon, Matthew, Holly, Susie, the Bell, and everyone else
you
might be in a position to forgive me for this horror. I really loved the confession the other day by the Bristolian who spoke in an Irish accent when working in an Australian bar for 5 months.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My enjoyment of this was tarnished, however, as it rekindled a long-buried memory of speaking in an accent myself many years ago.
Here we go.
Oh, dear.
It's fine. It's not going to stretch me too much. And my confession dates from 1991, but the seeds of it grow from 2 years earlier. Like all 14-year-olds at the time, I had to choose options of subjects that I wanted to study for my GCSEs. For most people, secondary school is a place you attend from 11 until you're 16, or 18 if you stay on Frey levels. Unfortunately, my secondary schooling was different. It was split into a school that we attended from 11 until 14, and then a completely different school that we went to from 15 to 18, when people from other schools joined as well. This made choosing options difficult, because you didn't know any of the teachers that would be teaching you when you chose your subjects and changed schools. So at 14, I chose French as an option because I really liked my teacher at the time of choosing. Sadly, when we switched schools, I had an entirely new teacher and a mostly new set of classmates. This wasn't good, and I instantly regretted choosing it. I should have switched subjects, but I obviously had more important things going on at the time and chose the easy option to stick it out. I really shouldn't have. Without wishing to offend anyone there at the time, I was in a class of wild, feral, uncontrollable morons.
Okay.
Just speaking plainly.
Yep.
And we were taught in Joey from Friends-type speech marks by a teacher who had no desire whatsoever to either change their behaviour or teach us any French. I should have risen above it, ignored the lunatics sharing my airspace, and focused on trying to pass. Instead, I gave up, like everyone else in the room, and watched the wild, untamed monkeys throw things around for a few hours each week. When the GCSE exam approached, we had to undertake a one-on-one oral exam, in addition to the written papers. I had learnt absolutely nothing from the 2 years that my supposed teacher had been supposedly teaching me. I had, though, during that time been enjoying the weekly BBC sitcom Allo Allo on the television.
Of course. Well, here we go.
When my turn for the French oral exam arrived, worth 25% of my GCSE, I entered with very little hope for what lay ahead. My teacher greeted me, set the cassette tape running, and proceeded to converse with me in French. I regret now how I responded, but at the time it was honestly the best I could muster. He would run through the usual role-play scenarios, pretending to be in France and stopping me and asking me how to get to the train station or how the weather was going to be tomorrow. For my responses, I became René Artois from Allo Allo. I spoke English with a mock French accent and substituted all the words for Z instead. The railway is on the left. Takes a third turning on the right and walk for 200 metres. Then takes a second left and you'll have reached the railway station. I gave these answers with a straight face. My teacher received them with a straight face also. He never broke, not once. He would hear my allo allo response and then carry on completely unaffected. Sylvester, tomorrow will be rain. The sun will come out from behind the clouds in the afternoon, giving a temperature in the mid-20s.
Wow.
Gordon says, having been a teacher myself now for over 20 years, obviously not French geography,
no.
I feel rather ashamed of all this. I imagine that the guy, I don't remember his name, absolutely hated me. He sat there, hearing my pathetic answers and probably inside wanted to throw me through the window. I imagine if I had dropped in the phrase, I shall say this only once, he may well have punched me. At the end, though, he thanked me in French. I understood that. Merci.
Very good.
Au revoir. Mm-hmm. And out I went, never to see him or speak French ever again. Father Simon, I seek forgiveness for my actions. I should have tried harder. I let myself down. I received an overall E grade from my French GCSE. Frankly, I'm amazed I got that.
Yes.
Merci et au revoir, Gordon. Now, I'm not sure that at the time an E sometimes is like a low pass, but maybe I'm guessing an E is like bottom grade.
Yeah, let's say that. Yeah.
Just above you, I'm thinking. Anyway, Gordon, thank you. So it's 1991, French oral. No one has ever done this, I would have thought, and got away with it. Sister Susie, what do you say to Gordon?
Oh, well, merci, Gordon. I think very, very well. It was very, very funny. I got an E in classical civilization
wow.
when I was A-level. Didn't particularly do very well with that. But I did dip out on French at GCSE because I knew that I wasn't very good at it. And I feel like Gordon should take some responsibility here because, his classmates may have been, distraction and rubbish and the teacher may not have been good, but you have to take some responsibility for what you've learned. I can't believe you didn't learn absolutely nothing at all. I feel like he could have done a little bit better. And as funny as it was, genius, hello, I'm afraid I can't forgive him.
Yeah, I thought that's probably what you'd say, Brother Matthew.
Oh, I am definitely going to forgive.
Yeah.
And here are the reasons why. Number one, I mean, he kept it going. You can probably do that for one sentence, but to keep it going all the way through and to have the teacher going, that's normal. I'm not going to say something in French.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, outstanding. Yeah. But also, there was no teaching. He wasn't being taught anything in these classes. What was he supposed to do? So, yes, definitely forgiven. Well done.
It was a genius idea from Gordon, and I particularly like that because I had to do an accent, but I had to do a bad accent. That was the whole point.
Yes, so the reason why the accent was so bad was because of the theatre direction, wasn't it? That's the reason why it was
so appalling.
Is that right?
No, I'm just instinctively bad.
Oh, right.
So that's why.
Getting you out of it there.
Thank you very much. Yeah. If you have a confession with a bad accent or any kind of accent needed at all, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Time to revisit the past again for a confession from the crypt. This request comes from Ben, who says, Simon, I'd like to request confession from a couple of years ago. I think it was 2022. It goes back to the 1960s and involves a Sunday football match and a dad running on the pitch and saving a goal, leading to all kinds of chaos. Yeah. He might have been under the influence of a little match day tipple, but his passion was hilarious, and I would love to hear it again. Ben, thank you very much indeed. So, successfully converted from an iPod shuffle we dug out from the junk drawer in the kitchen, which is just next door to the tack cupboards.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've turned it into a lovely new WAV format. Here's Alfie's confession, the Village Green Football Society.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Alfie. Alfie, thank you very much, dear Simon and whoever.
Thanks very much.
Rude.
I seek forgiveness not for me, but for my late father. Allow me to set the scene. Way back in the 1960s, our family lived in a village pub in Suffolk where my dad was the landlord. There was my elder brother, elder sister, mum and dad, and of course me, a mere youth, 13 years old. Now, my big brother, Bob, played in goal for our local football team in a Sunday league. So it's afternoon kickoff, not quite jumpers for goalposts, but not far off. This time, the licensing laws decreed that pubs had to close at 1400 hours, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday lunchtime. This meant that Mum could have an afternoon nap while the rest of us went to watch the match. The crowd was huge. There was Dad and his 5 mates, my sister and me, and about a dozen or so other locals, half a dozen away team fans, a couple of dog walkers, and a field of cows offering up the occasional moo of encouragement. I think I quite like that. This is very kind of poetic. Now, on this particular occasion, Dad and a few of our regular customers had been looking forward to this match, a case of local pride or some such, and may have had a glass or two, maybe, of the resident ale.
Okay.
And to keep out the cold at the match, had filled up the hip flask to take with them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Drink responsibly, everybody.
Obviously.
Yes.
So a PG certificate, I suppose. Anyway, off we all set to the local playing field to support our village team and my big brother. Our team scored first, and shortly after, the other team equalised, which was greeted by Dad and co, claiming there'd been a foul, it was offside, the ref needed glasses, questioned his parents' marital status, and so on. All the usual good-natured banter you expect at a football match. Half-time, and out came the hip flask. Just to keep away the cold, it was very cold in those days, back in the days, in the 60s, so a hip flask was legally acceptable. Anyway, then came the moment that I write to you about. 15 minutes to go, it's still 1-1. Suddenly, the opposing team striker beats the offside trap and was one-on-one with our goalie, my big brother. Now, like all good keepers, he came off his line to cut the angle down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the next bit seems to play out in slow motion. The striker chipped the ball
and as the ball floated over my brother's head and drifted slowly towards the now empty net, there was a low rumbling roar from the crowd. Remember, we're still in slow-mo.
Okay.
As my dad appeared from behind the goals and leaping like a salmon. No mean feat for a 50-year-old, 5'6", generally rotund pub landlord. He punched the ball over the crossbar.
Punch.
Wow. Yeah.
There was cheering and booing and mooing from the cow field and more than a little hysterical laughter. The two teams surrounded the ref, who momentarily seemed a bit nonplussed, but eventually, after a great deal of whistleblowing and threats of booking everyone in a two-yard radius, declared it was to be a drop ball outside the penalty area. Drop balls were contested in those days, remember, and a player from each team stood face-to-face and the ref dropped the ball between them, resulting in each player trying to kick it, each other and the ref at the same time. Wow. More booing, mooing and cheering as well. The ref then turned to my dad, took his name and address
and, address?
And ordered him off the playing field, which he shouldn't have been on anyway because he was just watching. The outcome of which was that he was banned from watching any home games for the rest of his life.
Wow.
No, sorry, the rest of the season.
Okay.
There was an upside, though. The pub was busy for a couple of weeks as people came to congratulate the local hero. The game eventually ended up a 1-1 draw and a lot more protestation towards the ref and more mooing from the field next door. So, Simon, can my late father be forgiven for instinctive reaction, albeit one that might be construed as alcohol-filled? I think it probably was. I've decided not to name either of the villages involved to protect the innocent, even though it's the 1960s, and mainly because villagers have long memories, and I'd hate for it all to kick off again. I just love the fact that it could kick off again, even after all these years. Okay, so first of all, before we go on the forgiveness, is that the right referee's decision? Because clearly the ball was going into the net. Dad runs on, saves it. He shouldn't have been on the pitch. Punches it over. That's not a drop ball.
Well, I think it is. I think that the FA laws would say that's a drop ball. Where I think I differ is I think you do it from where the offence takes place. You don't do it outside the area.
Oh, right.
You do the drop ball where he decided to palm the ball over the crossbar.
But surely they shouldn't have done any of this because he wasn't a member of the team.
Clearly. So, Sister Susie, anyway, what do you say to Alfie?
Well, Alfie, your dad, you know, he was trying, and I guess it was instinctive reaction, but maybe he shouldn't have taken the hip flask with him if he'd already had a couple of pints at the pub before they closed at 2 o'clock. And I just don't... I really want to forgive you because you're a pub landlord and I feel like I should stick to you. But do you know what? You shouldn't have got involved in your kid's football game. So, no, I'm not going to forgive you.
Okay,
not
harsh
forgiven.
Words. Harsh words from Sister Susie. Brother Matthew.
I mean, taking his name and address seems a little extreme, doesn't
like
it? I don't remember them doing that when they're giving anyone a yellow card. I am going to forgive here because which of us can honestly say that when you've had a little bit to drink and you're watching the footy and maybe passions get the better of you? So I think we can all say we've all been in that position and we'd all probably do the same. So for that reason, I choose to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Isn't that nice to have a confession that encourages a discussion of the ref's decision and the role of the referee?
FA laws, under-discussed on Greatest Hits Radio.
I wonder if some referees would like to send their confession or maybe some VAR operators.
Oh, dear.
Maybe they would like to.
I guess it's going down a certain avenue.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. If you have a request for a confession you'd like to hear again, or indeed maybe you just have a confession that you think you need some forgiveness for, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Thank you very much. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, in honour of Sister Holly, it is going to be this week, sick and wrong. Sick and wrong.
Okay, or if you're going to say it in the original style...
Sick and wrong.
So yeah, so maybe do it in that style when you're... tweeting it.
Yes, if you can. So you can either tweet that at Simon Mayo, or you can X it, or you can thread it, or you can blue sky it.
Do you get anything on threads? Is that even
less on
active?
Threads?
Yeah.
Lots on...
on blue sky, which obviously where all the cool kids are.
It's always like an elite.
Is it the elite?
But it's an elite that's open to everybody.
Which is almost the opposite of elite. But anyway, yes. Doesn't work at all.
I don't think that's right. I think elites are very good, as long as anyone can join the elite.
Well, the whole point of the elite is that not everyone can join.
No, it's just that there are a small number of them. What do you think, Holly?
It's just not very popular, is it?
Yes.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah, no,
before we get to philosophy. It's the end. Look, the tape is running out. We've got some yellow leader coming up.
Oh, yellow leader.
Yes. Wow. Spliced together, a bit of China graph. Yeah, all that
China
kind of
graph.
Right, that's it. From the tack cupboard, Sister Holly says...
See you later, alligator.
Oh, very good. From the pub, Sister Susie.
Home time.
This is very good. I like this.
So creative.
The Radio Brighton, they're back in the day, a long time ago, their drive time show was called Home James.
Home James.
I think it said a lot about the kind of people they were broadcasting
to. Didn't it? Goodness.
And the era. And from the gutter, this is Brother Matthew.
Goodbye. Yes,
well, goodbye. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Send your confession to us. Thank you. Susie will give you money.
No, I won't.
She won't.
Spot the two producers.